A tight budget is forcing the Army to cut its ranks by at least 70,000 soldiers in the next 5 years. The Army also has to let go of some weapons programs to keep its spending levels down. And those plans could come at the cost of military readiness. General John Campbell is Vice Chief of Staff of the United States Army. General Campbell, it's a pleasure to have you on the program this afternoon. What is the current state of the Army in light of coming off of 12 years of war, sequestration, tighter budgets, and so on that we've already seen, sir? Thank you for being on today.
Well, thanks, Francis. Anytime I get an opportunity to talk to people about their Army, you know, it's a great honor to do so. So I welcome the opportunity. I do would start out and tell people that they can never, ever forget that your Army is still engaged in Afghanistan. About 34,000 soldiers still deployed there. So as we come get smaller based on the budget and defense strategic guidance here from 2012, we can never forget that we still got men and women in harm's way, and we got to continue to do all that we can to provide them the right resources. The Army today is the best manned, equipped, trained, and led, and we're going to go through some transition here over the next several years. But what I tell the soldiers, what I tell my soldier, my son is a soldier, deployed in Afghanistan on a second tour today, is that down the road it'll be smaller, but it'll still be the best manned, equipped, trained, and led Army in the world. So I feel pretty confident about that.
Tell me about the impact, though, of some of the numbers that we're seeing. The high was 570,000 soldiers. The numbers that we've seen make an arc that take us to 490 to 450,000, maybe as low as 420,000 soldiers. What is the impact of that, and what are some of the things that you'll have to do to get down to those numbers, sir?
Great question. So first off, remember that we're being told we have to take down about $75 billion over the next 5 years, $75 billion. And so we can't have the Army the way it is today. There's things that we can do to become more efficient, and we're working those every day. But when you have to take out that much money, you fundamentally have to relook at business here. And really the guidance from the SecDef and from the Secretary of the Army and the Chief of Staff is as we come down to make sure that we stay in balance. So we have to balance our end strength, our force structure, our modernization, and our readiness, something we didn't do after Vietnam, and we became a hollow army. We don't want to become a hollow army, so we've got to keep that at balance. The issue is when we do come down, we want to make sure that we have the personnel policies in place that we can continue to take care of our soldiers and their families, you know, because of what they've been doing for the last 12-plus years, and that's very, very important to us. And so we're trying to track that very hard. But 2010, we had about 570,000 on the active. Again, I'm talking active, but really you got to look at it as a total force, both the active, the National Guard, and the U.S. Army Reserve. But for the active, we had 570,000 before sequestration. This is just based on the BCA of 2011. We had to come down to 490,000. That's the path we're on right now. We were going to do that by FY17. Felt very good about that ramp. But based on sequestration and a lot of uncertainty out there on how they do that, we have to come down to 490 much quicker, and we're going to do that by FY15. And then with sequestration where it's going, we're potentially going to 450, and both our secretary and our chief have testified that 450 for the active component is probably the lowest that we can go and continue to do all the missions tasked of us of the Defense Strategic Guidance. But from the difference between 490 and 450 is that the risk is much higher at 450. Below 450, we believe that we'd be unable to accomplish which tasks, what the American people expect of us from the Defense Strategic Guidance.
A 420,000 soldier army, sir, means that you're down 26% from that 570,000 number. And you told a story last time I saw you before Congress about what that means. 26% means you're going into levels to ranks of men and women who are in service right now, who are in country, and coming home to news that they're probably not really looking forward to, sir.
Well, yeah, potentially. I mean, from 570 to 490, most of that we're able to do with natural attrition. And, you know, we have some levers that we can pull, whether it's promotion rates, whether it's how many people you assess into the Army, how many people leave. We have some levers that we can dial back. And again, our emphasis there is to be able to do everything we can to take care of soldiers and their families during this time. And we can do that, and we have a pretty good rate to do that. But once you come down quicker, then what you have is a lot more involuntary separation. So going from 490 to 450, and then again potentially to 420, and I don't even like to say 420 because I know we can't do what the American people expect us to do at 420, those ramps become much quicker and the number of involuntary separations comes higher. So we've done, we conduct these boards. We've done it for the colonels and lieutenant colonels for this year, and those numbers were very low, probably 100 colonels, probably 150 lieutenant colonels, and all of those officers were retirement eligible. What we're looking at now, and boards are in session looking at captains and majors, because we size our officers by year group, and in 2007, 2008, 2009, we grew the officer corps, and especially our young lieutenants and captains, to meet the surges of Iraq and Afghanistan. And now as we try to get back into balance, we've got to bring that number back down. And so there's probably going to, well, not probably, there will be some involuntary separations out of that. We'll have very senior boards held by general officers that take a look at the records of majors and captains. And there are potentially captains that are serving as company commanders in Afghanistan today that have the potential that we may have to say thanks for your service and we need to move you out. Now, as we do that, there's other ways that they will continue to serve. We need to have great officers, non-commissioned officers, soldiers in our National Guard and our U.S. Army Reserve. And a lot of the folks in the active, they do that as they move on. And so we'll try to keep the very best with our National Guard and U.S. Army Reserve as well. But, I mean, bottom line is the numbers, the budget, and what we can afford, because we're about people, and people are expensive. The numbers that we're going to have to drop is going to force us to lose some people there. You know, I think the other thing I'd tell you is the message ought to be sequestration is very bad, and we need people to stand up and say, you know, this is not where you want not only the Army, but all your services for full sequestration. And we're doing that with Congress. Every time I go on the Hill, we're talking to congressmen, to senators. And candidly, when we do that individually, they're with you. But when we get them back in a group, they can't decide, and we continue with full sequestration. So 14 and 15, we've been given a little bit of leeway. We appreciate that great support from Congress there. And we're going to build upon our readiness in 14 and then 15. But right now, if nothing changes, FY16, law of the land is sequestration, and we drop off again all the services.
General John Campbell's Vice Chief of Staff of the United States Army. Sir, you've used that word balance a number of times, and you talked about the components of that balance as you and General Odierno and Secretary McHugh and the civilian leadership work through this. One of the elements that you mentioned there is readiness. And as I talk to folks about readiness, it sometimes sounds like an amorphous term. Ready for what is the question that I get more often than any other, sir. And you alluded to it a little bit earlier when you talked about not wanting to use the 420,000 soldier number because you said we can't do what the American people expect us to do. What are some of the concrete quantifiable things that a 420,000 or even a 450,000 soldier army would not be ready to do if called upon to do it?
Now, great question. We work through that and run different models and scenarios and simulations that help us based on the different war plans that are out there, based on the different foundational activities or the strategic engagements that we have soldiers in 150 countries today. And what we try to do is shape the environment we're in, working with other militaries, mill-to-mill, with other armies in this world to make sure that we don't have to go to something like in Afghanistan, Iraq, to war. You know, soldiers are the last ones that want to have to do that. But right now, the way the current guidance was, the strategic guidance, your army, your nation, the total force, again, not just the army, we're one component of the joint force, has to be able to, or used to be able to, conduct two different MCOs, major contingency operations at a time. Today, your services cannot do that. We can do one and then probably go to another one, hold off a little bit until we finish up and then move additional forces that way. Under 420, we would not be able to do that. Some of the assumptions that you have to work through and talk about is some of the assumptions when they think about, hey, at 420 you can still do this, people talk about no rotations, that you wouldn't rotate. Everybody is all in. So you deploy and you're all in. I mean, we didn't do that in Iraq and Afghanistan. We didn't do it in World War II. We won't do it in the future. So that's a bad assumption. We got to understand casualties that we'll take. We got to understand that anything that when you put boots on the ground, you are dead serious about changing that environment you're going into. And that is the beauty of having a soldier or a Marine or an airman or a sailor. When you put them on the ground, that's showing that your nation means business there. And again, at 420, based on, and I can't go in at the level you probably want to go to on this conversation, but based on the things that we would have to do, it doesn't take into account rotations, doesn't take into account casualties, doesn't take into account a sustained a campaign that you expect your Army. And we have to train to that worst case. But at the same time, your Army has to be able to do a whole bunch of other missions, and I think it is very flexible, adaptable, capable to do that. We're doing this thing called regionally aligned forces, and we've had a brigade aligned to AFRICOM, General Rodriguez, and it's conducted over 71 missions in about 34 different countries at a very low cost, but making a huge impact on the mill-to-mill engagement. And that's what we got to continue to do in the future as we continue to downsize and try to stay in balance.
General Campbell, we just have a minute or so left, but I wanted to ask you, how much of your message to Congress is the drawdown of the scale that we're asked to accomplish it right now is going to be painful and undesirable, and how much of it is the mechanism via which we have to do it unless you fix sequestration makes it painful and unmanageable and undesirable?
Well, that's a great question. And what I would tell you is that, you know, we understand we got to be part of the solution. All the services do. I mean, I meet with all the vices several times a week. We talk about this. We all want to be able to do our part to make sure that we're efficient, but at the same time do what our nation expects us to do. But you can only squeeze so much out of that turnip, and then you got to make changes on your end strength and your force structure. And again, it's going to be on a total force. When I talk to Congress and go to the Hill, we try to lay out, here's what your Army can do. Here's the things we have to do to get to the smaller level, and here's potentially what we can't do. Readiness is a huge piece for us, and really readiness doesn't have a constituency. So very, very tough sometimes when you go to the Hill to try to talk about that. But in simple terms, you know, we'll go forward, and we're going to have a total force of active National Guard and U.S. Army Reserve. We got to get that right balance. And I look forward to continue to work through those numbers and this force. And it is a very good force today. We want to capitalize on the experiences we've had over the last 12 years and continue to do what we want for our country. You asked earlier about readiness. I just throw one more thing out when we talk about balance, because people ask me about the National Guard and whether we want to go back to a strategic reserve prior to 9/11 versus an operational reserve. And the National Guard and the senior leadership of the Army wants to continue to have an operational reserve, but if you keep all of your force structure, keep all of your end strength, the only place you lose is your readiness, and then you are a strategic reserve, not an operational reserve. So that's why we disproportionately took out the active first, because we grew them, but when we get to a certain point, we have to take a little bit out of our National Guard, a little bit out of our Army Reserve. And if we can't do that, that impacts the balance. So that's kind of the discussions we're having internally within the Army now.
General Campbell, I'm grateful for your time today. Thanks for being on the program.
Thanks very much, Francis. Bye-bye.